Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app at your app store, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. It's the big orange background with a white A, Odyssey. Once you get it downloaded, you look for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You got us. And it works anywhere, anytime, any place. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay if you have that little feature in your car. That's what I use, and I love it. You can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search The Rob O'Donnell Show there as well. We get 3 to 5 podcasts each and every day that you can get downloaded to your inbox if you are registered with your podcast platform. Looking in, hey, Rob, got some text messages coming in. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Hey, Rob, first gas was $2.99 in West Pittston. Second, a Yeti is just a Bigfoot with white privilege. Frank from West Pittston. Yes, indeed. Well, if you look around the world, and I kind of like, it's one of the things I do watch on TV. I watch a lot of Discovery Channel and stuff like that, and Expedition Bigfoot and those Bigfoot expeditions. And every time it's on, my wife and I joke and say, I think they're going to find him this time. We got to watch it. But it's fun. But all around the world, if you look at the history, there is some sort of legend of something like a Bigfoot. And Josh Gates, who does Expedition X, Expedition Files, he does a whole bunch of series on these Discovery Channel platforms. I went to go see him. My wife and I went to go see him when he was here at the in Wilkes-Barre at the Kirby Center. And he kind of gave his feeling on why this is. And it made a lot of sense. And it was sort of like what a lot of parents, and you shouldn't do this here, when you point at the police officer and say, you know, don't do that or he's going to take you to jail or she's going to take you to jail. Or, for years, and my daughters are probably going to get mad at me for this, but for years, my daughters, when they were little, thought there was a mouse living in my belly button because that's what I told them. You know, that was the joke we had going on. So, but for years, they believed it. So I'm going to see if I'm going to do that with my grandchild now. But already kind of started laying the groundwork for it, but we'll see how far that goes. But he said, you know, in places where Bigfoot is prevalent, you know, the Pacific Northwest, the Himalayas, the Amazon jungles, and places like that, swamps in Florida and down south, where they have the swamp beast, they call it. Could it just be parental lessons in dangerous places to where they say, hey, don't wander around these places because they're dangerous and they really are dangerous. So they make up something like a Santa Claus, like an Easter Bunny. You know, all these fable characters that we make up ourselves to instill in children, to instill in people that, hey, don't go wandering off in there because there is a Bigfoot in there. Well, there's a Yeti up in there, so don't go wandering into the mountains because, in all honesty, there are wild animals up there. You could very well freeze to death and such like that. So it made a lot of sense the way he put it like that. Could these just be urban legends that go throughout history? And It really made a lot of sense. So, Rob, here in NEPA, we call it the Suskin Screamer. Okay. So it made a lot of sense when that was what was said. But to move on from that now that we're talking about Bigfoot and Yetis and all those things, kind of got off track there. Back to reality now. Unsettled by this recent New York City shooting, companies wonder if their offices are safe. And if your company, if you work anywhere, is not doing a risk and vulnerability assessment at your place of business, because there are crazy people out there. We still don't know yet why. If this person in his head who only played high school football determined in their head, whatever psychiatric issues they were having, that the NFL's responsible for his concussions, and went there with a long gun to open up fire and kill people, which he did. You know, if you have a bad customer service experience, you know, I get threats here quite often because people disagree with me and they don't know how to act like adults and they act out on it. And that's just the way things are these days. And that's fine. You know, I take that as part of the environment I work in. But there's places, I mean, we've seen people crash vehicles into new car dealers or used cars dealers because of something with their vehicle. If your company is not doing a vulnerability and risk assessment, and I've gone through extensive training in this, you know, I'm certified by the Department of Homeland Security and the operational value of risk, threat, and vulnerability assessment. I do emergency action plans for companies, for school districts, for such like that. Well, I have in the past. I haven't done any recently because of I'm here with you guys now. But, you know, it's extensive training that I went to, both hands-on and book training, to get the certification through the Department of Homeland Security and George Mason University. If your company's not looking at the threat, risk, and vulnerability assessment for where you work, then they need to. And it will help their insurance premiums. It'll help ensure their employees and them are safe. But you truly, this day and age, need to look at these things. And if you're just ignoring it, it's not a good sign. And there are, of course, high-cost things you could be doing, and there's low-cost things that you could be doing, but you need to be doing something. You at least need to be having some sort of a plan with your employees. Okay, if this happens, this is the best-case scenario. Or you yourself, as an employee, as someone that you should be aware of your situational awareness, should be determining, okay, what are the possible threats, risks, and vulnerabilities of my workplace? What am I going to do personally to ensure my safety? And that goes for your children in their schools. They should be asking themselves the same thing. Age appropriate, of course, you know, when they have the ability to really assess their surroundings. But you should be taking that on. But your employer should really be taking it on. And there's things like, listen, if you have glass storefronts that could easily be broken through, shot through, you know, this building here where this shooting happened, you know, if they were able to lock those doors, be it that that was tempered glass, could he have just shot it and broke through the glass to get in? It would have slowed him down, but I don't think it would have prevented him from entering. So do you put some sort of bullet-resistant film on your windows at your entrance? Now, again, it's a less of a cost than bullet-resistant glass, which is quite expensive, and I'm not expecting agencies or businesses to start footing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in bills to replace glass to bullet-resistant glass, but at least do something. Now, bullet-resistant film is obviously not as foolproof as bullet-resistant glass, but it does offer an extra level of safety. Do you have a lock system on your door, a buzzer system? And I'm not just talking, you know, a simple latch lock. I'm talking a deadbolt that comes out and actually secures that door, not something that could be kicked in or forced open. Do you have escape routes in your facility? Are there side doors, back doors? Are there other ways out? Is there a safe room with a secured door to where you can lock yourself in to call 911 and have time for authorities to get there? Can you defend yourself? Are you allowed to defend yourself at your facility? Do they have a policy to where, hey, if you're legally able to carry a gun, by all means, do so. A lot of companies do not. A lot of companies prevent you from doing that and defending yourselves. But also by doing that, they're also taking the responsibility of your safety and security while you're in their facility. So again, that does not mean anything if your life is taken from you or you're severely injured. But if you are running a business, if you are running a corporation, if you are in charge of people, if you own a business, you need to take that into consideration. If you're telling your employees, hey, this is a gun-free zone, there's no firearms in here, and something happens and they didn't take the proper precautions to secure your environment, well, they could be culpable there because you could have very well defended yourself and your coworkers, or multiple coworkers could have defended themselves. So these things need to be looked at, and it's very right. It should unsettle companies because these companies did have the paid detail with uniformed police officers. There were two working. They did have private security, which I believe were unarmed, which is just someone in a uniform, no different than an employee. But, the uniformed police officer obviously was outgunned. The uniformed police officer was taken by surprise. Somebody just walks in, lifts a gun, and takes it out. You know, unless you see them coming, there's not much you can do. The other officer was on one of the 30-something floors in the building, walking the halls, securing the building. So obviously you cannot cross every T and dot every I, but you could be doing something more. And one of the biggest things you could be doing is having a plan, doing something like a vulnerability, threat, and risk assessment. And, you don't really have to go out and get someone that's certified or professional in that. If you could start small, hey, let's get the building engineer. Let's get one of the executives for the building. Let's get, one of the managers and one of the workers. And we'll sit down in the office and we'll start talking about it. And then we'll walk around the facility and we'll walk around the perimeter of the facility. And then we'll look at all these things that make us vulnerable, make us risks. And that's both internal and external. What do we do as a business that could cause somebody to target us? If somebody has an interaction with someone, do we have a mechanism in place to where they can notify others so we're aware of it? So people at the front desk know, hey, there's something going on. So that people in areas of that building know that, all right, well, we should be on heightened alert today because of XYZ. Or we should, at this point in stage in the game, everybody should be aware of their situation and be on a heightened alert. But these are the questions that need to be asked time and time again. For any place, be it a school, be it a business, be it your home, what are your threats, risks, and vulnerabilities at your home? Do you have a surveillance system? Do you have proper locking doors? Do you lock your door as soon as you enter it after you enter it every day? Simple things that you can train yourself, your family, your loved ones, your coworkers, the people who work for you, just to make it a little bit safer. Again, you'll never make anything 100%. It's just not the way the world we live in. If someone wants to harm you, if someone's intent on harming you, it's a very good chance they'll at least have an opportunity to do so. How you prepare for it, how you're able to prevent it, how you're able to mitigate it if it does happen, well, that's on planning, preparation, training, and being aware that these threats, these risks, these vulnerabilities are actually out there. It's 5:22 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.